Hello, and welcome back to In Touch with the Hudson Valley. I'm your host, Trevor Eichler, and you're listening to Town Square Media's Public Affairs and Issues program, where we discuss Hudson Valley happenings, local issues, and where we shed the spotlight on some difference-making individuals and organizations in the area. Today we are speaking with John Burton, the director of the Lifted Project. The Lifted Project is an annual musical initiative in the Hudson Valley that unites local musicians to perform original songs, aiming to raise awareness and support for various nonprofit organizations. Without further ado, here's John Burton. So, okay, let's start out here.
Yeah.
So you are the director of the Lifted Project,
yes.
John Burton. Thank you for coming on In Touch.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, this is great. I'm very excited to learn about it. And you're also a conductor as well?
I conduct the Lifted Project, and I'm conducting a couple other things. I'm finding my way in that space.
Yeah. Probably not easy, right?
it's funny because I studied it for like a little bit.
Yeah.
But as you know, I'm a singer-songwriter solo.
Yeah.
So I don't have a conductor. I have no exposure to conducting. It is a wonderful thing to be able to move people. Like you watch what a conductor does, and you think, are they really doing anything, or are the musicians? When you're standing there, you realize just how much you're doing.
Absolutely.
And it changes a piece. It's really kind of cool.
Absolutely, because like that's all tempo, dynamics, stuff like that.
Tempo,
that's
dynamics, but it's stuff that you see. The Lifted Project's different when you're conducting too, because you're conducting people who've never done it before.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're watching a conductor with a symphony, there's 42 practice hours in the bank already.
Yeah.
So they know what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. They know what it's going to sound like. With the Lifted Project, nobody knows. The only person who kind of knows is me, and I don't know.
So there's a lot of trust then with the people and the musicians and how.
The trust level's amazing. The first time we did this, I invited 38, because I, from my show, I know like a lot of musicians, right?
Sure.
So I invite like 38 musicians, and they're all rock stars.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all soloists, right? Mm-hmm. And I go, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I haven't done it yet, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a song.
Okay.
We're going to pick 4 nonprofit partners. We're not going to touch a dollar, but the nonprofit partners are going to come, and they can raise money if they want and awareness if they want. We're doing it for them. We're not going to rehearse the song. It's not written yet. And we're going to do it in an airport.
Wow.
And I'm going to sell that out.
And you did, right?
I did sell it out, yeah.
That's great.
Of the 38, 38 said yes, all within like 2 hours.
Wow.
Song unwritten. That means one of two things. Either they trust me, or they think he's never going to do this.
Exactly. There's no in between, right?
I'm just saying yes so I can get back on the show.
Yes.
So then I wrote the first song, and I play it for my wife, and she's like, that's no good.
Oh.
I spent like 3 weeks on the first song, so I had like 4 days. Now to meet
you're
the deadline.
You're scrambling, right?
Well, I don't know what you think about songwriting, but...
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think you channel it, or do you think you produce it?
I feel like you have to get in that mindset. I haven't in a while. I haven't written a song in a while, but when I did, I couldn't sit down and just kind of put myself there. You have to kind of... I don't know. Something has to strike me,
right.
And then I can sit down, and then I can be like, all right, let's get this out. I have to get it out of my head.
But it's interesting because it's not like factory work where if I work for 8 hours, I'm going to produce this much.
Exactly.
It's not that. I think of it more of channeling. Like I've personally written things that I can't write, but I'm not smart enough to have written
You're
that. So it just kind of
channeling something else.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So that's how the first one came about.
Great. So what is your role? Like we said, you're the director, and how did it come to be? And how long have you been involved?
Okay, so. I get weepy, so
it's okay.
Okay.
Oh my god, this is great. No.
So my wife had a head and neck cancer.
Okay.
Horrible head and neck cancer.
Yeah.
She had a surgery where they basically cut her head off.
Oh my god.
She called herself like a Pez dispenser, from the back of her ear all the way across her neck.
Oh, God bless.
And
her. Wow.
They take out 15 lymph nodes, and then they do chemo and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And the chemo and radiation is god awful. They make a mask. They put you on a table. They burn your face off.
Oh my god.
And like literally, she would have ash. The ash would fall off her face every day.
Oh my god.
And the back half of her head is bald.
Yeah.
And she, the muscle atrophy, it went on. So the muscle atrophy, like she can't walk.
Wow.
She can't eat. She can't do anything.
Yeah.
And when you're done with that, she was done December 30th. When you're done with that, they send you home.
Okay.
And that's it. And you're like, I'm like, she can't walk.
So
I get this idea and I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk you outside. So she stayed home for like 3 weeks, just basically sitting in a chair. And I'm like, I put a winter coat on her. It's too heavy. She can't start.
Yeah.
I walk her outside and I see her tipping her head towards the sun. And I'm like, usually that means there's something wrong with her neck. Mm-hmm. And but this time she was just remembering the sun because she hadn't felt the sun in like 9 months.
Yeah.
Insane. So That's crazy. We're doing this. So every day I walk her for like 12 steps.
That's great.
And then 14 steps.
Yeah.
And then 20 steps, right? We keep going. We get to be like 100, 150 steps, and she maxes out.
Great.
It's but she maxes out. Like, she can't do anything else.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. Now, I work out like a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
I do like 2 hours a day.
Nice.
So I go. So I have a friend at this gym where I work out, and she's a teacher, and she teaches these classes. So I go to her, and I say, hey, could I put Trish in the back of your class,
mm-hmm.
and she's just going to shuffle her feet, but it'll get her out of the house.
Get moving something,
A little something.
Yeah.
Trish is my wife. Here's her condition. She's ashamed to go outside because she thinks she's disfigured. She's got like big giant sunglasses. She's got a giant scarf around her. The back of her head is bald, so she's wearing ball cap. But I said, listen, we're going to go try this because I know my friend. My friend's a gifted person. So she agrees. She goes to the class. And this will start crying. So she goes to the class, and she's in the back of the class, and she starts like kind of shuffling her feet. When I said like 2 inches, 2 inches, two inches, my friend says, has none of this. We're not going to have none of this. She goes to the back of the class. She grabs Trish. She brings her to the front of class.
Yes.
Turns around, makes her face everybody, and shuffles the class with her while everybody else is lifting weights and jumping over. Yeah. She's just shuffling the class. Get in the car afterwards, and Trish goes, do you think we could ever do that again?
Yeah.
At the same time, the phone rings, and it's my friend, and she's like, get her in here tomorrow.
Yes.
My friend dedicates 4 months every day. No money changes hands, no money anything.
Oh, wow.
To just getting Trish through a class.
Yeah.
Part of the class is, you know what a box jump is?
Yes.
Okay. So part of the class is a 2 foot box jump.
Okay.
Right? Trish can't walk. So she starts with a 3 inch box jump and she trips over it and she's on the floor and she's crying. My friend, they go forehead to forehead. I don't know what they said, but Trish gets up, wipes her eyes. At the end of that class, my friend walks her over to the 2 foot box jump and says, we don't stop till you jump on this.
Wow.
Right? So they go through months of just building this trust and this love and it's amazing. And the Today Show covers it, and Newsweek covers it, and she's having just this incredible alternative recovery, not based on science, but based on love.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day, Trish keeps getting better and better and better and better.
Yeah.
So one day, she's standing in front of the 2 foot box jump, and she can't jump on it, but she can put 1 foot up and then the second foot up.
Yes,
right. She can't even step up on it, but she can do 1 foot at a time.
Mm-hmm.
My friend goes over, and this time I heard what they said. They go forehead to forehead. I will never forget this. The day I die. She goes, you can do this today.
Wow.
You are a feather. You can fly. You can do this today. And just steps back. 40 people make a circle around Trish. I'm standing there. Trish looks at my friend. My friend holds her hands. Trish looks at me and I'm like, I don't know. You people have a secret. I don't know what you're doing. And she flies up on a box.
Wow.
And it was the most amazing thing.
Oh, like, my God.
Everybody was devastated for 15 minutes, right?
How could it not be?
It's an inspiration. A woman who couldn't walk is now box jumping.
Unbelievable.
Right? I go home, and I do what any good husband would do.
Yeah.
Now that the mission's accomplished, I start watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching.
That's great.
And I'm watching TV, and the We Are the World documentary is on.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, hey, dummy, you know a ton of musicians. You write songs. You could probably do this. And the Hudson Valley is a geographic anomaly for musicians. Like, literally, you walk down a hall and 4 world-class musicians are walking past you at any given time.
Unknown, too. Just hidden talents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But insanely good. I don't know what it is.
Something in the water, man. The Hudson River.
Something. It really is. It's really amazing. So I'm like, hey, I could do that.
Yeah.
And it could be a fundraiser. I'm like, but a fundraiser is boring. What would happen if I took a room and nobody took any money and everything is volunteer and we did a song with all this talent? We didn't rehearse it so that you get to see us be bad.
Yeah.
And it's such a human experience that you just go to a place in that room that you couldn't go if you weren't in that room.
And just make something beautiful.
Just make something beautiful.
Yeah.
That's it. And if the nonprofit partners make some money, great.
Yeah.
So we did our first one last year.
Nice.
It was at the Hudson Valley Airport. We sold it out. My wife's in the front row.
Good.
And we do the song the first time, and it's horrible. And I turn around and my wife, and she's looking at me like, are we going to have to move? Because this is really bad.
This is embarrassing. We got to get out of here.
This is really bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, just hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we do it like 4 more times. And there's so much talent in the room that like you can't help but get good.
Absolutely.
Like I'm backstopped. They can't be bad. If I give them enough time, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
So then we take a break. You go around and you meet the nonprofits. then I say, okay, we're going to do it to the point where we get it. And the song's called Won't Be Broken. We're going to do it to the point where it's recording level because we're recording it. And then we're going to release it, right, to help promote the nonprofit partners. So we do it the fifth time, and it's great. And I look at the producer. His name is, he's not doing it this year, but his name is Eric Dalton. And I look at him. He's like, we're done. We're good. And I'm like, but we're not done. Because I had something I wanted to do. So I'm like, let's do it a sixth time. We do it a sixth time. Then we do it a seventh time. By now, remember, these are like 38 professional singers. They're getting a little angry. They're like, we got the song. But we're done. Like, you know, I want to go home.
Let's wrap it up.
And I'm looking at him. I'm like, that's exactly where I want you. So then I said, okay, for this last one, and you can hear it. It's on. It's everywhere. This music Won't Be Broken, and it's the extended version. I go, okay, this last one, the audience is going to sing with us.
Okay,
and everybody solos. So there's three mics up front. Anybody who wants to gets up and just wail.
Come on up.
It was 8.5 minutes of the most amazing, based on their talent, the most amazing musical experience. When it's done, 45 minutes after it was done, nobody had left the room yet.
Really?
Everybody's just like, what did we just do?
Relishing in that amazing thing that just happened.
Yeah, just the energy of just music can take you to a place you can't go anywhere
else.
I say this a lot. I think the magic of music is, it's hubris to think that we have a word for every emotion. Yeah. We don't. Music can describe, and every emotion has a spectrum, right? It can be a little annoyed. Yep. I can be really angry, but music can get in the gradient areas.
In those in-between little spaces.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Because it makes you feel something you don't
know that you can't articulate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it worked that day, so. Yeah.
And especially making it with other people, when that clicks, and when that is just, when you know it's like, oh, this is working good.
Yeah.
It feels good. Yep. And you are connecting with these people, like you're in that community, you're making this one cohesive thing. It's beautiful. It's amazing.
To be in a room full of people who are willing to put their ego aside, because these are all soloists.
Sure.
And who are, you know, not headlining, not, they just want to do the music, man.
Yeah.
It was staggering. So that was the first one.
Great. And is that kind of, how does that community look like with all these people? I know you said they're soloists, but there's no kind of colliding of ego. Everyone kind of puts it aside, like everybody, you said, comes together.
You understand the room that you're in.
Good.
And you understand what you're there to do. Nice. And if you do bring ego, you stand out so poorly that you're like, oh, wow, this is just not that.
I should have left it at the door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is not that. And it's funny because there are soloists in the song, but not everybody gets a solo.
Yeah.
So even that's like a tricky thing, but everybody's like, if I get one, I get one. If I don't, I don't.
We're here for the better. We're here for together for the good.
I'm gonna lift you. That's all we're gonna do. Gonna lift you. Whatever happens after that is good.
That is so great. That is so great.
Oh, thanks, man.
So memorable moments. That's probably top of the list right now. What else? Anything kind of stand out to you?
A bunch. From everybody saying yes to the band rehearsal. Like, the band rehearsal was Sunday morning at like 10 o'clock, because they're all gigging musicians. So you can't get them during the week, and you can't get them at night, and you can't get them on weekends because everybody's playing out.
So Sunday morning.
Sunday morning's it. It's me and four musicians, and everybody's hungover. Everybody's got the sunglasses on.
Oh, that's great.
Everybody's got like the super giant Dunkin's cup.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody came, and everybody put it together, and it was together in like 15 minutes.
Wow.
It was just remarkable.
Wow.
And then the commentary afterwards too was remarkable.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a social experiment.
Yeah.
And I remember afterwards, like all social media, it got lit up on social media, and I remember reading what people were writing.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible. I remember feeling, okay, this is what music is. It's bigger than the person performing it. It's
Absolutely.
Bigger than the person writing it. It's bigger than that. It's not music until it lands on somebody else.
Yeah.
And until that somebody else feel something that they hadn't felt before
is affected.
Now you're in tune. Now your music. So yeah,
so
I remember
you
that.
Saw the impact that it had on
and,
the people.
And I abused my daughter that day.
So disclaimer.
Disclaimer. Yeah. So my daughter, her name is Gramercy. She was 16 at the time.
Okay.
She's got a fantastic voice.
Yeah.
She won't sing in front of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
She won't sing in front of anybody. So I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm a musician. So okay, I'm going to give you a solo in this, and you're going to have to go do it.
Here's your chance.
And she didn't want to do it, but she's like, I'm like, you're going to do it. So she gets up, she sings the solo line, and it's like really bad.
Yeah.
And she's got a great voice.
Yeah.
Member of the choir, young woman who's in the choir, said, can I just have 2 minutes with her?
Yeah.
And I'm like, sure, go outside. So they go outside. And again, I don't know what they said. Now, this is a stranger.
Yeah, complete.
She comes back in, and my daughter rips the solo in half, just crushes it.
Wow.
And I'm just like, to be in the presence of just people just willing to do good for the sake of doing good.
Helping others.
It's not a hospital where you're getting paid.
Yeah.
It's not a nonprofit where there's people on, and nobody makes a dollar. It's
labor of love.
Just doing it to be good.
Labor of love. And for the love of music and for the love of being together and making music.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so special.
Yeah.
That is so special.
It's cool. Yeah.
So good on you for
Oh,
for
thanks, man.
That is so great. I love it.
So then I go to my wife. I go, should I do this again? I go, is it stupid to do it again? And she goes, it was stupid to do the first one.
But we're going to do it again.
But we're going.
But we're going to do it again.
Yeah, we're going.
So April 6th, 2025.
April 6th, Center for the Performing Arts in Rhinebeck.
Nice.
Going to be different.
Okay.
Going to be a children's choir singing a song I wrote.
Great.
That's going to be rehearsed because I don't want to put children in there.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
I learned my lesson with my daughter. I'm not going to put children in that position. There's a guitar symphony.
Nice.
So it'll be a circle of 12 guitars.
Cool.
And we're doing a song I wrote. And then...
Like a classical piece kind of thing? Or
no, it's kind of... You ever hear John Butler's Ocean?
Oh, sure.
It's
kind of
like that.
Okay.
Oh, you know John Butler's Ocean?
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm a guitarist. I play guitar.
That's my anthem, man. Okay, who's your vote for best living guitarist right now? Not that there can be a best, but your favorite living guitarist right now.
Living?
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, I like Pat Metheny, but is he dead? Is Pat Metheny dead?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I'm going to look it up right now. I love like the jazz guitarist and like that flamenco style.
Is that what you play?
I try to. But
jazz guitars. Jazz guitar will break your hands.
Yeah, that's because it's like those chords are like you're using your thumb and your pinky at the same time.
Yeah, no, that's a form of torture during war.
Yeah.
It's jazz guitar.
Pat Metheny's alive and well.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, so.
All right, Pat, you get the vote.
Sorry, Pat Metheny. Yeah, Jaco Pastorius, too. He's another great one. A lot of those jazzy guys. I just love that. I just like the way it makes me feel, man. Again, back to that, how music affects your mood and how it makes you feel. Like, it's just great.
My vote is John Butler.
Okay,
I think John Butler can play anything on anything.
Yeah.
And so the song is like, it's like Ocean. It's like it's all acoustic. There's nothing plugged in. And we do that. And then we're doing a song. Then the core choir. Is the original choir is coming back, and we're doing a song called Holy that I wrote.
Okay.
And then the finale, and that we're going to have to do a few times because that's the unrehearsed one.
Yeah.
And then the finale, and it'll be, if it works out, it'll be one of the biggest choirs ever assembled in New York State.
Wow.
Because the audience will be part of the choir. I'm giving them a part, and we're going to do it. Will be the song from last year called Won't Be Broken.
Nice.
And we'll be doing that. Yeah, and it'll be it's gonna be different because we were in an airport hangar the last time.
Yeah, a little different now.
Acoustics are a little,
Yeah,
and it was funny too. Here's another memory. So I'm conducting, right?
Yeah.
But it's an airport hangar, so the band is on like one side of the room, and the choir's in front of me. The band can't hear the choir.
Oh.
So I'm conducting them both separately at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was a trick. So I wound up just stop conducting and start dancing.
What else can you do? Right?
Nothing. You can do nothing else.
Do that Bugs Bunny thing where you leave the hand in the air and then you can leave. And yeah, there you go.
There it is.
We love it. We love it. Okay, so you mentioned the nonprofits before. So do you choose the nonprofits that Lifted Its Project supports each year?
Yes.
Or is it, okay, cool.
Yeah, I do,
so explain a little bit about that. How do you help the
nonprofits? I try to do like one national one.
Yeah.
And that this year that's Thank, Thyroid Head and Neck Cancer Foundation.
Yes.
Obviously they help my wife and I do some work with them about caregiving. So and they're just it's just amazing people.
Yeah.
This year we did James's Warriors. They give presentations in schools about suicide prevention for teens.
I'll be talking to Donna Thomas in a couple weeks. Yeah.
Oh, tell her I said hey.
Yeah.
She mentioned that.
Yes.
Actually, yeah. Amazing organization, and I do their podcast with them, and they're just they're also crazy people.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Gotta
be crazy. They're all fun.
Yeah.
Earth Angels Believe. Mm-hmm. This year, which I could relate to this mission, they give money to cancer families who have a cancer patient in there. So you need $300 for groceries. Because cancer hits your family. It doesn't just hit the person. You need a full-time caregiver. I was a full-time caregiver. No one worked in my house for a year and a half. It's a hit.
Yeah.
It's a hit.
Yeah.
So so they do that. So that's great work. And then Hudson River Housing,
absolutely.
My friend Krista Hines, who I just love, they built, I don't know if you know, they built 1,800 homes.
Yes.
That's insane. That's
unbelievable.
That's a village. They built a village.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
And so needed and so appreciated
yeah.
by the communities and just great work, just amazing work.
Amazing work. Yeah. And personal friends with her and like, she's just a thoroughly good person.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to find something and I can never find
anything. You can't find nothing. No. She's just a perfect, amazing
person.
She's
just gold, man. Yeah. So
it's hard to find these days, but they're out there.
They are.
And that's what we're here to do is to put the spotlight on these amazing people like you and Krista and Donna Thomas.
They're in a different league to me, but thank you. Yeah.
Of course. Oh, my goodness. All right, moving on. Any challenges you faced so far as you know, getting people together? Or you said they're pretty accepting of it. Like, so I said yes.
Well, so getting a children's choir together is a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
My day job, I have a show for my day job, right?
Yeah.
And people listen to it. And so, you know, you get people who like you. And then you get, like, if you get, you will experience this. Yes. I guarantee you will find, you'll get an internet stalker.
Okay.
Who just, you know, no matter what you do, is going to be bad. And, you know, when I went out to the children's choirs to try to get them, I said, look, just so you know, the minute I post that you're on my thing, you're going to get an email that I'm a serial killer and blah, 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 blah. It's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So I went to this group and we even built the date around this group. They said, yes, we're in. We're all approved. I said, the music is great. And then they got the email. I backed out, and that was really disappointing.
Yeah,
really disappointing. So children's choir is a challenge. The other challenge is trying not to make it be about promoting the artist or me.
Yes,
like I that's why I like last year I had my show's name in the logo. I took that out. I'm like that was a complete misstep. Never should have done that. And not making it
changing
like,
the focus.
Yeah,
of it, right.
Like thank wanted my wife to maybe do a presentation on the work they do. And I'm like, there's already too many Burtons in the room. So
yeah,
trying
we
to
gotta keep
it like
the Burtons. At,
yeah, let's keep the Burtons at bay, man. So that's a challenge. And then the hardest part is writing the song. Cause you're writing, you know, you're writing a song for these top tier musicians. There's things you can and can't do. And it's choral writing. It's not like, you know, I could write a song for you to sing tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. This is different.
Choral writing. Right. But you can't, there aren't parts because you don't get to rehearse. So you can't really arrange it.
Yeah,
the
good
only,
point.
The only thing you can do is kind of layer. So and that's tricky because you want a choir. You know, I want Trevor to be singing one note while John's singing another note.
Exactly.
Can't do that because you don't get to rehearse.
Yeah.
So I got to layer. I layer you instead. You'll sing something and I'll sing it after you and we'll build that way. So it's a lot more. It's a lot more about volume and a lot less about arranging. And it's hard to write a good choir song where there's not harmony.
Exactly, because that's most of them, right?
Yeah, but that's the point of choir is harmony. So it's a little bit challenging to write a song that you can't do a lot of harmonies. But then when I let them go, they all do harmonies anyway.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing is like
to figure it out.
Yeah,
right?
That's the other thing. So one of the criticisms I got last year was, you know, you're not a classically trained conductor.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm in front of 38 soloists. You think Bernstein could come in here and conduct these people? They're going to do what they're going to do anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're going to have their set ways of conducting. Right. At least you have this kind of personal connection with these people. And you're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do
it.
You know, we're not going to go the professional route. We're gonna fly by night here. We're going to make it work.
Right.
And that's awesome. And that's great.
And you know, I have trust. Like, at this point, I've built trust. But, like, you know, you can't tell these people what to do.
No.
If you listen to that extended version, you can hear at the end, everybody just goes off. And, like, I was there, and I'm watching my wife, and she's like, are you ever going to end this? And I'm like, no. I can't control these people. They're out of control.
I'm just letting it ride.
Yeah, go. When they're done, I'll end it.
When they're done, I'll... Exactly. Yeah. When they're done, I'll end it. Awesome. All right. A couple more minutes, a couple more questions.
Yeah, sure.
So, in your opinion, what's the biggest takeaway from the Lifted Project for both participants and the community who experiences it? What can somebody expect when they come see that performance on April 6th?
You can expect to leave. You made me cry. If we do this right again, we did it right the first time. If we do this right again, you can expect to leave having been to a place that you couldn't get anywhere else on earth.
Yeah.
A group of musicians willing to risk a song that they haven't practiced at that level, all doing it for joy.
Yeah.
You can't find that room anywhere else.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But what's cool now, I should say this too, what's cool now is they're doing, next year, there's a musician who's going to do a Lifted project in Indiana.
Oh, wow.
And there's another musician going to do a Lifted project in New Jersey.
Okay.
And the dream, I'll give you your scoop. You ready?
Let's go.
The dream, and I think this could happen. a Super Bowl halftime lifted project.
Let's do it, man.
Right? Wouldn't that be perfect? Not, forget the stars. I've seen Beyonce. And you get a group of just ordinary, talented musicians together and do that show for half an hour and raise money for UNICEF, United Way. I don't know, whatever. Wouldn't that make like the best?
Blow the roof off.
Way better than seeing, like, we're used to the shows. I know what the Super Bowl, the goal is to do a Super Bowl halftime. I don't know if we'll get there, but the goal
I
is
think
to
you
do
will,
it.
Man. Thank keep, you. Keep it up. Keep Thank it up. You, we Try got it. And so as far as, like, support and volunteers, where can people find you? I know that, like, donations, like, aren't accepted like that, or can people just donate and help out?
You can
out?
Donate to the nonprofit partners. If you go to liftedproject.org,
okay.
The nonprofit partners all have links there.
Nice.
They sell tickets through Zephy. Zephy's like the only ticket mechanism where the nonprofit gets all of the money.
Good.
So so they don't take a percentage of it. If you go to liftedproject.org and pick one of the four to support, when you buy a ticket, tickets are $25. There's also the opportunity to donate more if you want to.
Nice.
When you come day of, you can certainly, the nonprofits are there and they'll have their QR codes and everything.
Yeah.
You can donate that way. In terms of volunteering, it's just kind of me and Karen Catalano.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky this year to have the staff of the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck to handle all that.
Yeah.
So we're very lucky. So yeah, just liftedproject.org if you want to get involved.
Nice.
Or if you want to host your own Lifted project.
There you go.
Yeah.
And what advice would you give somebody trying to host their own Lifted project?
Don't.
That's the final line. Perfect. But it's great, though. It's great.
No, what I would really tell them is it's all in the casting.
Yeah.
Pick musicians you trust.
Mm-hmm.
Pick musicians who are better than you.
Build that community.
And you can't fail if you're in a room full of people who are more talented than you.
Yeah. That is so great. All right. I think that's going to just about wrap it up. John Burton. Thank you so much for coming in. Now we got to schedule me to come on your show.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the promotion. It's super helpful.
Of course.
You're doing a good job, man.
Thank you. You are too. This is such an amazing thing, and it's such a good thing to get out there and tell people about. So
thank you, man.
Good on you, and we'll talk to you next time.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you again to John Burton from The Lifted Project. Looking ahead, The Lifted Project performance in 2025 is scheduled for April 6th at the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck. This event will feature a live choir performing a never-before-rehearsed song with proceeds supporting cancer patients and survivors. The Lifted Project encourages individuals to contribute directly to its nonprofit partners. For more information about The Lifted Project and its upcoming events, you can visit their official website at liftedproject.org. As always, thank you for listening, and thank you for staying in touch with the Hudson Valley. I'll see you next time.